Hey, how many of y'all are tired of paying for a cell phone bill, man? Anybody tired? I mean, oh my goodness. You know what? Dude, on Amazon, $50, dude. I think the Russians used to carry these around in their backpacks back in the day. It's a survival shovel. Dude, it's got an axe on the end. Terry, you can throw it into palm trees and you can dig holes with it. But you know what I really just found out? Oh my goodness, this is great. I don't need a cell phone anymore. I can take this with me, a little cumbersome, but I can make phone calls with it. Can you even believe that now? I can make phone calls with this thing. Does anybody, Fernando, you want to try to make a phone call with the shovel? Why don't you want to make a phone call with a shovel? So, something tells me you don't believe that it's going to work. And so, man, how many of y'all believe that this is going to work, that I can make a phone call with my survival shovel? Anybody? Nobody? So that means because you don't believe that it'll make a phone call, you're not going to make the call. And you know what? When you don't make the call, that means you don't get what's on the other end of that line. And you know, where we're at in the book of Romans right now, that's where how many people feel about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people feel that it's just as ridiculous to try to make a phone call on a shovel as it is to trust a dead Savior that they don't believe is alive, to believe that he paid for their sins. In fact, the Bible says that it's foolishness to those that don't believe. How many of y'all remember when it was foolishness to you, guys? Anybody remember when it was foolishness to believe? Just like in Numbers 26, where all of a sudden the Israelites are messing up and there's snakes everywhere, right? We've been talking about this story a lot lately, that there's snakes everywhere, and they're crying out to Moses, 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 do something, call God, ask God what to do. And he calls on God, and God says, get a stick. Okay, we're going to beat these snakes, right? Terror, we're going to beat them, man. And then God says, now I want you to make a statue of a snake. Okay, God, and put the statue on the top of the snake. Moses saying, I got people dying. There's people dying. People, man, they're getting bit by snakes. God, come on, get serious here. And he said, I want you to take that snake on the statue and I want you to lift it up. And what were they supposed to do to be saved? What did they have to do? Just look at it. How many of y'all think that is a wonderful medical plan? Michelle, is that a wonderful medical plan? Yes, if God says that's what the medical plan is, it's a wonderful plan. But to the world, it's as silly as trying to make a phone call with a shovel. Man, while we were singing that last song, I don't know if God spoke to you or not, man. It brought me to tears because it reminded me of times in my life. Man, I can remember one time I was in New York City. Yeah, New York City. I was buying salsa. No, I'm just joking. But it was like, I went, all the people I went to Flagler College with and stuff, they were from like New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, all that. And one summer I decided, I'm going to go up there and see this place. And yeah, dude, I'm just the building. I was your typical tourist. Oh my goodness, look at this. And there were some empty lots. And I'll never forget a bunch of kids coming, my age, coming up to me. And they were trying to share the gospel with me. They were like, oh, if you died, are you going to be 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? I'm like, dude, get away from me. You're going to die, man. And he was like, no. It was like ridiculous. They're asking me. I said, no, I got my thing with God. I got my religion. Them trying to share the gospel with me was as ridiculous as trying to make a phone call on a shovel. Give me the shovel. This was my theology. Give me the shovel and I'll dig and work my way to heaven. Thinking that was how I was going to get there, because to think that somebody would actually die and pay for my sins and require nothing from me but just give it to me was ridiculous. It was foolishness. This is how foolish in those college days at Flagler College, one of the last semesters that I had there. I remember you brought up college and in there, and this is after I quit baseball, and I'm like, man, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing with life. All of a sudden, I got free time, and free time, how many of y'all know free time ain't always a good thing, right? And man, free time to figure out what to do. And I don't know why, I can guess, but that semester, I get my sheet of all my classes, and two of the four classes, they gave me slavery and racial relations. I didn't sign up for that one, but they thought I needed it, and the study of four gospels. They evidently thought I needed that. Later now, I see how God was working in my life. But at that time, it was ridiculous to me to think that there was somebody. Salvation, I got to save myself. I got to do something to save myself. I can't just believe. That doesn't just work. And it doesn't.
until God puts it in your heart and allows you to believe that it works. If you're here today and you're like, you know, this Jesus stuff, just believing that he died to pay for your sins and surrendering your life and having been justified by faith, just having faith to trust that that's all you have to do is look on the cross. You look at him and give him your life just to have faith to do that, that's what really works. And you're saying, that's ridiculous. That can't be. That doesn't make sense. I want you to know you're not going to figure it out. It's not going to go from your head to your heart. You're not going to figure out the logics of it and say, oh, now I get it. Boom. What's going to have to happen is in your heart, he changes. He gives you the ability to believe. And when you have the ability to believe, guess what? If Fernanda believed she could make a phone call with this shovel, what would she do? She'd grab it and she'd make a phone call. But you're not going to do that because you don't believe this is going to work. How ridiculous to think you could make a phone call with a shovel, right? Chuck, is that pretty ridiculous? Unless God all of a sudden said, this is the way you do it. And that's what happens. So, man, you were talking about your mother, 94 years old, man. And we've all got people we're praying for. We can't talk them into being saved. Anything I can talk someone into, the devil can talk them out of. Again, salvation doesn't go from your head to your heart. God has to give somebody the ability to believe, and then they can believe. If you could talk somebody into it, man, they would have a salvation that doesn't really work. It's not really from God. What a horrible thing to talk somebody through into being saved, and they're not really saved. Can you imagine somebody dying and thinking they're saved and they're not because they got it from you and not from God? And again, we are supposed to share the gospel, but the point is it's got to come from God. With intellectual people, man, so often, you know, I ain't real intellectual. You can just tell by that statement, I ain't real intellectual. All right? I'll get in conversation with real intellectual people, man, and they're just like, well, blah, blah, we didn't go to the moon because of this, and the earth's flat, and this is that. What? I'm like, no, wait. I'm like, look, I thought it was ridiculous too until God gave me the ability to believe. You, my friend, one of the wisest things you can ever say to an intellectual person who's trying to figure it out in their head is that you cannot figure this out. You can't have what I have until God gives it to you. And if God ever gives it to you, man, jump on it. How many of y'all are grateful that you jumped on it when God gave it to you? Amen. How many wish you'd have done it sooner? Yeah. But it's for real. It's from God. It's not something you figure out. So I want you to understand, your 94-year-old grandmother, I talked to somebody else yesterday, they were heartbroken because of a neighbor who's almost that same age. Dude, how much more time do they have left? And they're like, oh, in fact, her words were the lady, she had shared the gospel, said, look, this is how it is. After loving this lady, and the lady's got, oh, that's a wonderful journey for you. It broke her heart. And there's times where we've got to just do more praying to God about them than talking to God about them than talking to them about God. We do talk to them about God, but every time your soul aches, you beg God for their soul because God is the only one who can save them. You can't. Brandon, that's a good thing. Can you imagine if you had to save your wife? Man, and imagine if he had to save you, he'd have to keep you saved. How secure are you if he has to keep you saved? Eternal. You're not, right? So God saves us. God keeps us saved. And you can't get there until God gives you the ability to not think this is ridiculous. Then there's another group that we'll be talking about today. How many of y'all make a phone call on this? Anybody make a phone call on this? And some of y'all say, yeah, I can make a phone call if I want. How many of y'all believe you can make a phone call on this? Why? Because you've done it yourself. Why? Because you've seen other people. You've seen the evidence. But the reason you wouldn't want to make a phone call now is because, well, I don't need to make a phone call. And so many people, they've seen Christ work. They know he works. They know it's the truth. But yet they don't think they need him. They think there's going to be some other way in the end. And they've even got their own concoctions on what that is. In fact, when we were in Romans chapter 1, here's what it said. It said that every single person, you can go back and read Romans chapter 1, this afternoon, But we preached on it. You go back and look at those messages and stuff. But what it says is that God, through nature, has revealed himself to everyone where it is undeniable. Have you ever been here at sunrise? It blew me away on this beach. At sunrise at Fort Pierce, everybody's surfing, right? All 500 of them now, Chuck, they all have passes, morning passes. But here, people are coming to look at sunrises. Why? Because they're beautiful. It's God. Oh, you know? What happens when there's an awesome sunset? What do you see on Facebook and social media? Everybody posting pictures of. God says in Romans chapter 1 that he is undeniable. He said he reveals himself to everybody through nature, and that, but that revelation's not enough to get saved. It's a revelation enough to know that there's a God, and you either make the choice that you're going to be accountable to him and want to know more about him since he's so powerful and he's so awesome, or you make the choice that, ooh, I think I'm going to make him into my own God. In fact, I'm even going to call him Mother Nature. How ridiculous. And it says that what happens that people do in rejecting the eternal almighty God, they exchange him and make their own God. And you go back in Romans chapter 1 and see, out of bugs and beasts and birds and other people, they make their own God. And then what happens in their own God, they fall farther and farther and farther away from the truth. And that's what happens to society. So there's people. In fact, he says there's no excuse. It's undeniable that there is God. It's undeniable this works. Why won't you make a call? I don't need it. I don't need a call. I don't need this. You need salvation in this. So we're going to look, we're jumping back into Romans, and I'm going to show you the cycle. I didn't even get on this, did I, JJ? Can you get me up the first one? I'm going to show you the cycle of eternal life. So we're back in revival through Romans. We're in chapter 10. Chapter 9, after chapter 8, all the great stuff we have. Now, all of a sudden, in chapter 9, they're saying, you don't like the Jews. You hate the Jews. And he's like, no, I love the Jews. In fact, I want them to have the salvation. And when we look at chapter 9, it looks as though God has everything to do with salvation and man has absolutely nothing. So there is God's sovereignty, but there is man's responsibility. Go into chapter 10, it looks like God doesn't really have a lot to do with it, but man has to do with everything. Then we get into chapter 11 next week. We will see where God puts it all together. So we're at the end of chapter 10. And so we're going to have revival through Romans. And there is a circle of life, right? You've heard of the circle of life. This is the circle of eternal life. This is what happens when you get saved, what God has planned for you in that. So here it is. One, Christ saves. How many of y'all got saved, right? You got saved. Christ saved you. And by the way, Tara, that was awesome. You know, we're all family. And I'm glad you came back because, you know what? We have a saying around here. If we don't scare you off, welcome to the family. And so welcome to the family, but we don't hold nothing back. But Tara, man, thank you for sharing your testimony on. And dude, that's what it's about. Your testimony is where you were, where you are, and where you're going, and what God's doing. And God radically changes lives. So Christ saves. Guess what the saved do? When Christ does something awesome in your life, Christ saves. So now the saved do what? What does it say? The saved preach. You're like, no, that's your job, preacher. No, that's your job, preacher. You know what preaching means? It means to proclaim it. In fact, as we learned last week in the Great Commission, he said, as you're going, as you're installing windows and doors, and I won't pick on you the whole service, Brandon, I promise, but you're just there. I love your face, man. Like, all right, cool. I'll go back and I'll pick on Skylar here in a minute. But as you are going through this world, he says, make what? Disciples, disciplined ones that will follow Christ. And he says, baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's bringing him into a group like this where we can encourage each other. We can help each other see life from God's perspective. And he said, in case you forgot what discipleship is, it is helping others see life from your perspective, from God's perspective. It's teaching them to observe what I've already taught you. So as you're learning, Rena, you're teaching it to other people. So God's doing cool things in your life. Guess what God did? Oh my goodness. You know what? I picked up a shovel and I actually got reception, Gary, and I had a phone call. If that really happened, do you think I'm going to tell people? Now, some of y'all are like, no, because they'll think you're nuts. But that's what happened. That's why you don't share the gospel. Because it's just ridiculous. I gave God this situation and this is what God did. To some, it's ridiculous. It's me saying, dude, I tried to make a phone call on the shovel and it worked. Carolee, you know what I'm talking about. Don't people look at you that way when you share what God did? Oh, well, yeah, I'm glad you have that crutch, you know, and, you know, it's like, yeah, you must need it. Yeah, don't you believe in coincidence? No, I don't believe in coincidence, and I hope you don't either, because everything is a divine appointment. So Christ saves, and what a great thing it is to be saved. So the saved preach. You tell God what he did in your life. Y'all were talking about Emmaus, right? Your Emmaus weekend. Why did you even bring it up? Because you're stoked about it. God did something, right? And so your salvation, God did something, and you want others to have it. Dude, when I got saved, I knew I was supposed to use my big mouth to do something besides get in fights and get in trouble. God called me to preach. And you know what my plan was before I ever even darkened the doors of a church? Is my plan was, I know a bunch of people in the Bahamas that need this. I used to take sailboats. We had me and a high school art teacher and a fireman. We bought a boat, and it had a big hole in the hull because there was a northeaster that put up by the cross in St. Augustine. It got pushed into the wall, and some guy didn't know what he was doing, and so he sold it to us for, like, I don't know, $500 or something. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have nothing. All we did was go to the boatyard and said, hey, what do? They said, oh, dive down and put inner tubes in it and then do air hoses and fill it up. Now drag it to the boatyard. So we drag it to the boatyard. We're like, now what? They're like, well, you got to pay us. We're like, what? And so we put it in the boatyard. We get it up. And we didn't know what gel coat was. I knew fiberglass from surfboards a little bit, but this had to be a little tougher. And so we're asking and we're learning. We gel coat this thing. And by the time we get done fixing the hole that's this big, we were so tired we didn't want to paint it. It was a 27-foot Columbia, a California boat, 27-foot sloop. We didn't even paint it, dude. It just looked ugly right there. We slapped yellow paint on the side, except it was not a pretty boat like what you guys make, man. You could have made it look beautiful, but that helped us out later when we were smuggling weed back from the Bahamas. The Coast Guard did not even stop us. Seriously. They were like, we do not even want, Terry, I don't know, were there ever boats where you're just like, yeah, dude, if they make it back, they're lucky, dude. That was us. No motor, no electric. We sailed in and out of St. Augustine. I wasn't saved, so I'm not bragging on any of this. We sailed in and out of St. Augustine through the Bridge of Lions. I had a conch shell. I go, and they would open the bridge. And that's literally how we did it back in the 80s. Nowadays, I don't think you can do it that way anymore, can you? Yeah, you guys, it's all, you have more technology in your phone than the richest people had in their boat back in that day. Our first crossing was celestial navigation, and my high school art teacher friend whipped out the little sextant and said, this is how we're going to find the island. And I'm like, you know what you're doing? He said, I hope to by the time we get there. And so we would come, and we'd always have a storm coming across at the Cape. Then we would, right here at Jensen Beach. I didn't even know Jensen Beach. We would anchor by the wooden bridge. I remember I used to look up at the city on a hill and say, wow, if I ever had a purpose to live in a place like this, my life would be awesome. Because basically, I was a loser running from God at that point, trying to find satisfaction in anything. And man, we would go to the Bahamas. We would cross. No motor, no electric. And boy, it was a problem when you saw a big ship, the green and blue, red lights at night, and you didn't have a motor, and they weren't looking for your little, we had some little thing this big that was up in the mast that was supposed to, they were supposed to be able to see it in the radar. Those guys were asleep, I found out. And we would go, dude, you get close to one of those boats in a sailboat, man, there, it's like, it ain't like Castaway, man. It's like, dude, they'd rock you. We cross, we'd get to West End. And we'd hang out at West End. We'd give the tourists, like, eco-tours, and we would get hot showers and eat their all-you-can-eat buffets. And then we'd go back on our boat, and we'd go over to Marsh Harbor, go over there. And it did a lot of unscrupulous things. But if you ever hung out in a harbor, if you ever lived in a harbor with a bunch of people in a sailboat, and I'm not saying that they're all bad people, but if you've lived in one, you understand what's going on in that harbor. Especially in the Bahamas, everybody's friendly until you ask them what their real name is. Everybody's friendly until you ask them their past. You ask them, why are you here? What are you doing? And it's straight out of a Jimmy Buffett song, man. Nobody wants you to know nothing about them, but they're all empty. And I was there, and I was empty. So when I made it back and I got saved, my goal was in 6 months, I was going to sell everything I had, go to the Bahamas, and I was going to preach the gospel to those people who needed it. That was my plan, because I found God, Christ saved me. And I had such good news, I wanted to share it with everybody in the Anchorage who was empty and miserable and running from something. And that's what I was going to do. So I went to some Baptist church. I'll tell you this, and I'll get back preaching here in a minute. But I went to this Baptist church, the one that I used to actually ride on their bus and get a popsicle when I was a kid. And then as soon as I got a popsicle, I'd run home. I never went to their Bible studies, but I was Catholic, dude. I didn't have to, man. I just wanted their popsicles. But anyways, so I went to that Baptist church one night, and I told you a story before how there were these nice young people sitting in front of me, and I was like, God, if you cleaned me up to even get a date with one of those, that'd be a miracle. Less than a year later, I married the very one sitting in front of me, man, and she's right there, 35 years in June. Yeah, y'all can clap for that, bro. How many of y'all did God have to make your wife marry you before they really found out who you were? Yes, that's it. There were some of us. But in that, I walk out. The pastor's got a white suit on, dude, at the door shaking hands. I thought he was Colonel Sanders, man. I was like, he was all slicked up, white suit, and he's there. Oh, hey. And this guy, Joe Diosecki, he's the guy I worked in the wood shop with. Joe Diosecki, he's like, yeah, this is my friend. This is Fred. And I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm Fred. I'm like, hey, am I allowed to come here again? And he's like, yeah, why would you think that? And you know what? I've never forgotten that. And don't you ever forget that. Because church is a scary place for people who don't go to church or haven't been. Don't make it scary. Make it, well, people, I had no clue. I'm thinking, well, dude, I'm allowed to go to this church, but I didn't know I'd go. I said, can I come here again? He said, yeah. I said, well, I'm only coming at night because I go here during the day on Sundays. And he's like, yeah, come on. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm only going to be here 6 months. And he said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, in 6 months, I'm going to sell everything I have, and I'm going to go preach in the islands. And he said, oh, where'd you get your seminary education? I threw at him some verse out of 2 John and said, oh, man will mislead you, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. I don't need any of this junk. I already have an accounting degree I'm not using. I'm not going to college anymore. He's like, no, I can help you get a Bible degree. I'm like, I don't want one. I have the Holy Spirit. He started thinking, and he told me that night, he said, we're starting, we have a seminary extension, we're starting a new class called discipleship tomorrow. And I said, I already told you, I don't want to do it. He said, if you go to that class, and you decide after it's all done, you do not need a seminary education, he said, I'll help you buy your sailboat. I'm like, oh, I just got a sucker to buy my sailboat. Oh, yeah. And he said, but if you decide you do need one, I'll help you get your master's degree. I was like, well, that ain't happening. Well, guess what happened? I got a master's degree, and halfway through it, I met my wife, and she wasn't into saltwater showers and no ice, so my major turned more into missions, and here I am. And it's amazing what God does in all of that. But what I'm saying is, look at this, Christ saves, and when you receive some awesome gift, some awesome thing, man, you can't help but tell somebody about it. Brandon, what would happen? Skyler, what would happen? No, Brandon, I'm picking on Brandon. Brandon's the one who does the real work, all right? No, you do the office work. You're back there. I identify more with this guy because you're this guy, he's this guy, and that's all I had, bro, but back in the day. But, man, can you imagine doing a house and all of a sudden they give you a $10,000 tip for you personally? Would you tell anybody about it? yeah, bad example, but what if they just cooked you guys tacos? No, I'm just saying, yeah, you get something, you want to talk about it. So Christ saves, the saved preach. All that word preaches mean they proclaim. You tell people what God did for you. And when you get saved, have you ever seen a baby Christian? Anybody seen a baby Christian? Yeah, they're pumped up. And you know what all the old sour pickle-sucking face Christians that are lukewarm do? Oh, don't worry, man. They'll be lukewarm like us before you know it. No, dude, keep the fire alive. That's what's going on. And so the saved preach. And guess what happens when you preach? People hear. And when people hear, hearers believe. Not everyone will get into. But then all of a sudden, the believers call. So you believe that God is the Savior. You believe that all you have to do is give your life to Him. So you call on Him in prayer and you ask Him to save you. And those who call on Him are saved. So look at this.
Christ saves, the saved preach, people hear, hearers believe, believers call, and those who call are saved. Those who get saved preach, people hear, hearers believe, believers call, those who call are saved. Guess what? It's a circle. Watch this. People hear, hearers believe, believers call, those who are called. It's a circle. This is how God designed Christianity to flourish. Because when you receive salvation, you can't keep your mouth shut. When you're walking with God and God is moving in your life daily, you can't keep your mouth shut. Even if you're an introvert, your mouth just doesn't happen to be this. Your mouth happens to be your actions. So there's the cycle. So let's take a look at what Scripture says. Everyone who believes calls, and everyone who calls is saved. So if Fernanda believed that this was actually going to be able to give her, oh, wait, let me turn it over. I had the antenna backwards, sorry. If she really believed she could call with the shovel, she would call. But guess what? If you don't believe, you don't call. But everyone who calls on God to save them through Christ gets saved. Everyone. Everyone who believes calls. Everyone who calls is saved. Watch this in these two verses that we talked about probably a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to go over them real quick. For Scripture says, what significance is that? Oh, my goodness. That's the only truth we have. Would it be better to say, Pastor Eddie said? No. In fact, I don't want you to say, well, Pastor Eddie said. I would say, Scripture said. Scripture says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. You'll never perish. You'll never, ever go to hell. Scripture says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, that word believe. Hey, Ricky, when you sat down on that chair, did you check it out first? Did you check it out and make sure all the screws were tight, the welds were good? No, you just said, I believe in this chair and I will put all of my faith and trust in this chair. Boom! Right? What happened if this chair would not have held you up? You would have fallen. You would have been ashamed. You would have been embarrassed. We'd have been picking you up off the floor. But you put all your faith in this chair to sit down. That's what he's talking about salvation is. Putting all of your faith in him. This is all. This is not all. And this is why many people in Matthew 7 are not going to heaven. They're going to be put in the other line. They don't have an intimate relationship with God Almighty. Here it is. I got one foot in the church and I got one foot in my old life. I'm going to see which one works out better. I'm going to make it work out. But here's what he says. At some point, you surrender everything you know about yourself, which is not everything you're going to know, to everything you know about Christ. You put all on him. All of it. Like you do on a paddleboard. What happens if somebody stood one foot on a paddleboard and one foot in the water? It ain't going to work. And it doesn't work for salvation. All your faith and trust has to go in. And he says, everyone who believes in Christ and what he did on the cross will not be put to shame. We won't be picking them up off the floor later. He goes on and says, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. So get rid of all this race stuff that the world's throwing at us to divide us. Guess what? In Ephesians, he says, we got one race. One race. And you know what? When you get saved, what's our new race? Christ. We're a new race in Christ. There's no difference between the Jew, the Greek, whoever. One race. That's what Ephesians says. We're a new race. Quit letting the world divide us by race. So he says, Jew or Greek, the same Lord is Lord of them all, bestowing his riches on who? All. Who what? All right, who wants to make a call? Gary, you want to make a call on my shovel, man? No, because you don't believe. If you don't believe, you won't call. And people who don't believe Jesus is the way to salvation, the only way to salvation, they'll never make the call because they don't believe. But everyone who does say, Donna, everyone who does say, Jesus, I want you to save me, what does he do? He saves them. Nobody will be let down. So that's the first part in all this. He's the same Lord, bestowing his riches on all who what? But you can't call unless you what? Yeah. Lucinda, you believe? Do you believe this is a phone? No. Good. All right. Somebody's going to believe this is a phone by the end. I already did the antenna part, right? Did that not convince you guys? All right. But you understand, as ridiculous as this is how ridiculous the gospel is to some people. That's why we spend more time talking to God about them than them about God sometimes. The best way to talk to them about God is by your actions and by your love and what you do. You do bring up, you do speak, you do share the gospel, but the fact is every time your heart is crushed because you know their eternal destination, you beg God for their soul because it's only God that can change our heart. Who changed your heart? God. You remember when he did that? It went from being ridiculous to like, yeah, hand me the phone, baby. I'm calling God. I'm trusting God for everything. So man, he is no difference between Jew, Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Look at the next part. The next part. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Name means everything he stands for. Lord means boss. Everyone who calls and says, Lord, I give up. I don't want to run my life anymore. I want you to run it. He says, everyone who does that will be what? Period. Not saved again, or not saved until you sin again. How many of y'all, I can get you on this one. Not saved and like a magazine subscription. Y'all remember the magazine subscriptions? Anybody remember what a magazine is? How many of y'all old enough to remember a magazine? And you had to subscribe every year. In fact, my wife, who loves sports, I like to play stuff. I don't like to watch, but I try to be a good husband and watch sports with her. And right now, we're in the middle of the College Women's World Series. And I'm sorry, FSU got beat, man. That's sorry about that, bro. I only know that because I'm watching other. But when we got married, I would get her the annual subscription to Sports Illustrated. That's what I got her. That's what she wanted. And I would always call and say, and I don't want the swimsuit edition. And they say, why don't you want the swimsuit edition? I said, well, first, I'm not a pervert. And second of all, it's for my wife. It's for my wife. You're not saved until your subscription runs out and you got to do it again. You're not saved until you sin again. You're not saved because your salvation can't fall out of your pocket and you lost it. Anybody ever lost? Oh my goodness, what happened to my keys? Where? Oh yeah, we don't use keys anymore. What happened to my fob? You know? You're saved, period. Once you give your life to Christ. So now the saved preach, people hear and hearers believe. Look at the next part here. How then? Okay, so you get saved. You got something awesome to say. So you share it. You preach. That's all of you, not just me. Then how will they call on him whom they have not believed? So if you don't believe, Eric, you're going to make a phone call on this? No, you're not going to, because you're going to play with me, all right? And that's what people do also. They play Christianity. Oh, yeah, I'll act like I believe. Okay, I'll go through the most. Until one day you realize, I really don't believe, and this is ridiculous. I'm going to get something I do believe in, when this is really the answer. In this, again, so what does he say? He says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? If you don't believe, you can't call. But wait a minute, how are they to believe in him if they've never heard? So how many of y'all, if you weren't here today, would go, Destiny, would you, you're going to go home and tell Jack, oh, Jack, dude, we need to spend $50 on Amazon to get one of these special Russian shovels to make phone calls on. If I never told you, you would have never known, right? Y'all still don't believe, do you? But again, you have to be told. But that's the gospel. Somebody has to tell you that when you put your faith in Christ, you have eternal life. Who is it that's going to tell you? Who's supposed to tell you? Hey, Rena, who's supposed to tell you? Is it the pastor? You got to draft. It's only for people with drug problems who get drugged to church. And then they hear the pastor say it. Is that, where are they supposed to hear it? Russ? Yeah. Where are some of those places, Tom? Can they hear it in the water? Is that illegal? No, they can hear it while you're surfing. They can hear it in the parking lot when you're under a towel changing, man. They can hear it. They can hear it on the lacrosse field. They can hear it at Chick-fil-A. Well, no, everybody at Chick-fil-A is saved. No, they're not. I love asking people, hey, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to? Yeah, my dad's a preacher. I'm like, I didn't ask you that. Everyone needs to get saved who's not. And how are they going to hear? Who's going to tell them? Who did God leave behind to tell them? I want you, there's a question. The answer is, I'm going to give you the answer. It begins with an M and ends with an E. Ready? One, two, three. Me. Again, we're not talking about beating people over the head with the word of God. You know what, Ben? I'm going to pick on Ben over here because Because what I hear from my neighbors, so they did my windows and doors and whatever, and I'm not, you know, advertising whatever, even though they are pretty awesome, but and my neighbors, they're like, you know what? There's something different about these guys. There's something different about their business. And I hear that about a lot of you guys. There's something different. What's different? You're a believer and you act different. You don't act like the world. And they're like, what is different? Why? Oh, I know why, Brandon. Because you tape off the windows and then caulk them so you don't make a mess. Is that what's different about you guys? No, what's different is y'all have Christ. And you represent him out there when you're doing it. That's the difference. And then people say, what is that difference? What is that? And then now you can preach. And you can say, well, here's what God did for me. And here's what he'd like to do for you. Amen? How then will they call him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe if nobody's ever told them? Who would have ever thought you could make a phone call with a shovel? So obviously, it's still not you guys. All right. But somebody's got to tell you. And you may not even get it. How many times have you told your mom? In 94 years, how many times have you told your mom then? You think 94 times? At least 94 times. And she hasn't got it. Do you quit? Do you quit? No, why do you not quit? Because you want her to have what you have. And God wants her to have what you have. God wants you to keep telling her, don't give up. Ask for wisdom. Ask for love. We're not trying to create calluses. But what we want to do is let them know that when God gives them the desire and ability to surrender their life, they've got somebody they can trust that they can, that know it, they know is sincere, that they can talk to. The word sincere, the Holy Spirit just brought it up. It's not in the scripture, but it is in scripture, but not in this one. That word sincere, it means to be who you say you are when held up to the light. What would happen is potters. It's two words. It means without wax. And what would happen was potters would buy a field, and that was their business. And they only had so much clay they could dig up out of the field, so they would dig it up, and they would make it into pottery. They would fire it up. But what often happens when you fire pottery up? It cracks. Not all of it's good, so you got a cracked pot. How many of y'all want to buy a cracked pot? No, that's not even shabby chic, man. They would take a cracked pot, and what are you going to do with a cracked pot? It's already fired. You can't break it up and fire it again and make new stuff out of it. It's a waste. So what unscrupulous potters would do is they would take wax and they would fill the crack. And then they would paint it. Imagine if y'all did that with boats, man. Oh, you do? No, I'm just joking. Can you imagine you filled the crack with wax and then you painted it? Trent, what did the buyer think he was getting, man, when he bought that pot? Oh, a nice pot, dude. I'm going to go and make some chicken noodle soup in it, man. I'm going to put some hot water, some hot chicken noodle soup in that pot, man. And as soon as they pour that water in, that hot boiling water, what happens now? The wax melts. The chicken noodle soup goes all over the floor and not in your belly and makes a mess and comes out. That's with wax. That's not what our life's supposed to be. Our life's supposed to be consistent with Scripture. We are who we say we are when held up to the light. So what people would do, scrupulous buyers, is they would go to the table, they would take the pot, and they would hold it up to the sun. And if it had wax in it, they would see it. So if they would hold it up to the sun and there was no wax revealed, it was without wax, it was sincere. And that's what we're told in Scripture to be so often is sincere. We live it out because people are watching who will one day want to come to Christ, and Christ wants to use you to bring them there. I'm not saying we're perfect by any means, and if we've made mistakes, the greatest thing we can ever say is, I'm sorry. The world doesn't even know what that word means. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I misrepresented Christ. But the fact is when they hold us up to the light, man, we should be sincere without wax. How will they call on them whom they have not believed? If you don't believe, you're not going to call. How are they going to believe if nobody's ever told them? How are they going to hear without somebody preaching? Wouldn't it have been cool if when we got saved, God just took us to heaven? How many of y'all would like that? Yeah. All right, let me ask you another question. How many of y'all wish the person that told you about Christ went to heaven the minute they got saved?
and never got the opportunity to tell you. You see why Christ left us behind? He left us behind to live this out, to grow in him, good, bad, indifferent, and to be able to share this life in Christ with others. Because if we don't tell them, they're not going to hear. Are they hearing it on Fox? Are they hearing it on CNN? I don't even know what channels there are anymore. I don't even know what's on TV anymore, except the disc golf channel, right, Trent? Where are they hearing? What are they hearing? They're not hearing this. They got to hear this from us. How are they to believe in him if they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? So that's what we're left here to do. How are they to preach unless they are sent? And that's what the word ecclesia, church, means, called out. We are called out and we are sent out into the world. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Look at those bad boys. No, I'm just this floor could have used a good sweeping, man, but what's beautiful is the good news. That's what's beautiful. And who is it beautiful to? It's beautiful to God. But not everyone who hears, check this out, we're almost done. But not everyone who hears is going to believe. And those who do not believe do not call. And those who do not call. Oh, I switched. Sorry, JJ. I saw you going for it. And those who do not call do not receive eternal life. So check this out. In these last few verses here. This is so you don't get discouraged as you share. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed that he has heard from us? In other words, who's believing that we're speaking on God's behalf? A lot of people think it's ridiculous in Isaiah's day. In fact, Paul uses some Old Testament scripture here. Verse 17, he says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So again, if somebody's going to have faith, they've got to hear from God's word. They've got to hear from God's word. Abby, would you like a promise from me or a promise from God? I'm taking that personal. I'm taking, why don't you want a promise from me? Why would you rather have a promise from God, Abby? He knows everything, can do anything, and he's everywhere. You mean I'm not? No, I'm not. And God's going to get it done. God will fulfill his promises. I may intend to, but I still may not be able to even do it. And so the best encouragement you have in life is to give people promises from God. That's why you've got to know God's promises. That faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. How many times have you gone to a Bible study kind of feeling too tired to go, too ragged out to go? You go to a Bible study and you're just kind of like, oh, man. Wednesday, Fernanda. Man, the enemy attacks them every Wednesday. It is literally hell on earth at their house. Different things happen. You didn't think I knew about that, did you? No, but but literally stuff happens. And then it's so often we have Bible study and all of a sudden we hear God's word and faith now through the word. Oh, wow. And it comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You start listening to the word of God and your whole perspective and everything changes because now you have faith to know that God's working all of this out. So keep going. Keep sharing the gospel, even though there's people that aren't going to listen. They think it's ridiculous that you can make a phone call on a shovel. But ask, have they not heard? So hasn't Israel heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out through all the earth, the world, their words to the ends of the world. He's quoting now Psalm 19, which is a beautiful psalm. It starts out by saying, the heavens declare the handiwork of the Lord. The heavens prove that there's a God. And there's nobody that can deny there's not a God. We already went over that in Romans 1, but that's what Psalm 119, the first part's about, and he's quoting it. He said, they all know there's God. They've all seen him work. They've all seen the cell phone, but they're still not making the phone call. But I asked, did Israel not understand? Moses said, I'll make you jealous for those who are not a nation and a foolish nation. I will make you angry. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses said, I know you guys aren't going to believe. And so God's going to then give people the ability to believe that you think are idiots. And it's going to make you guys mad and jealous because you won't take it and believe. You've got every reason to believe, Israel. You have seen God work. You have seen God change people. You have seen the Almighty in action, and you still won't surrender. You know what the truth is, but because of your pride, you still won't do it. Then you still won't have eternal life. Then Isaiah says again, I have been found by those who did not seek me, and I have shown myself to those who did not ask me. So that's what God's going to do, is give other people salvation. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people, meaning that they never would obey the way to get saved, so they didn't. Not every Jew. We've already talked about that. You're not saved by race, you're saved by grace. And so there's plenty of Jewish people that have been saved, but they're not saved because they're Jews. They're saved because they gave their life to Christ. So check this out. Christ saves, the saved preach, people hear, hearers believe, believers call, and those who call are saved. JJ, did you get that 2 Corinthians thing? Man, you're still getting out early today, depending on how long it takes me to do these next 18 verses. No, I'm just joking. I'm done when the Holy Spirit's done. If you're done, you can leave, man. Whatever. If you get to get up like Scott and do jumping jacks, that is totally okay. It does not distract me one bit. All right. But God put this on my heart as I was driving in this morning, because I really feel what God wants us to hear out of this is that when we share the gospel, when we act like Christ, he's pleased. It doesn't matter if the whole world hates us. It doesn't matter if we get rejected. You know what? I don't feel bad. I have nothing against Fernanda that she will not make a phone call with my shovel. I have nothing against her. She's just not enlightened enough to be able to do it. I'm going to have a great conversation as soon as I get in my truck on my shovel. Y'all watch, man. Yeah. I'm just saying, we got to understand, we do what God wants us to do, and he's pleased. And I want you to see this section of scripture in here. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Real quick, JJ, let's go. Paul says this. He says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. So check this out. No matter what we do for Christ, he always causes us to lead in a triumphal procession. What a triumph was, if you look it up, in the Roman culture, whenever they won a war, they won a battle, there would be a triumph, and they would be carrying, you know, all the winning soldiers would be there. They would have all of their possessions, all the booty they grabbed. They'd have everything in this triumph. It would be just the like ultimate like celebration of a parade. He says, thanks be to Christ, who always leads us in triumphal procession. How many of y'all ever shared the gospel and got rejected? Did it feel like a triumphal procession? No, but that's why we don't live by feelings. We live by what? Faith. That's what this world's trying to do, is make us live by feelings. Oh, I feel the presence of God, therefore he's there. Yeah, it's awesome to feel the presence of God. But is God not there when you don't feel the presence of God? Absolutely. We believe that by faith. We live by faith, not by feelings. So even if it doesn't feel like a triumphal procession, it is. You know why? Because he said it is. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always, always, what does always mean, y'all? Always means always. So there's nothing, no other way. Every time we do what Christ wants us to do, there it is a triumphal procession, whether you feel like it or not. And through us, when we do what God wants, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge. We spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Man, we spread that fragrance everywhere. Even when we're crushed. Hey, when you crush an orange, what do you get? Orange juice, right? When you crush a Christian, what should you get? Christ. That's what you show out. Hey, my cell phone's working. Anybody want to take the call? You still don't believe, do you? So every time we do what Christ wants us to do, it's a triumph. It's a victory. It is a victory, and you may not see that victory till we get to heaven. But as you're walking, you are spreading the fragrance of Christ, the knowledge of him everywhere, and he is pleased. Look at verse 15. He says, for we are the aroma. How many of y'all got aroma sitting next to you right now? Somebody's deodorant didn't work, right? I'm trying a new one, so y'all tell me when I give you a hug, all right, how that one's working out. But we are the aroma of who? Who do we smell like when we do what God wants us to do? We smell like who? Christ. Yeah. Can you smell like Christ in a dentist's office? Can you smell like Christ in a place where you make boats? Yeah. He smelled like Christ out in the water. Y'all, everybody, oh, yeah, you smell like Christ. No, you smell like low tide sometimes. But I'm just saying, you smell like Christ. Wherever you are, if you're doing what he wants us to do. And that's why he left us, to leave the fragrance of Christ. It's told other places that when we do what he wants us to, we are salt. If you put salt on this backpack, what's this backpack going to taste like? Salt. You put salt on this chair, what's this chair going to taste like? Dude, you put salt on this dude's shoe, what's it going to taste like? He was holding it on, man. In other words, you change the flavor of wherever you are at, and that's what we're called to do. We're salt, we're light, we're a fragrance of Christ. We make the world smell like Christ. But again, we live in a Chick-fil-A world where they like the smell of chicken. What? People spend all that money trying to catch fish that taste like what? Chicken, when they can go out there and throw a net and get a mullet and a dude, that smells like fish. They don't want fish that smells like fish. Christ is the ultimate fish. When you smell like Christ, you smell like fish. And the people who like chicken in this blah world, they're not going to like that smell. That's why he said, those that live righteously will be persecuted. But we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. They both of them smell Christ in us. To one, it's a fragrance of death to death. To the other, it's a fragrance of life to life. I'm not responsible for the result, am I, Sweet Pea? Oh, that's your internet name, right, Sweet Pea? Your Facebook name? You got more? But I just remember that one. Every time I see it on my people I know, I pray for you, all right, Sweet Pea? I do. What's not important is how people respond. What's important is what you smell like. And who are we supposed to smell like? Christ. Because that's the one we're spending eternity with. That's the one who saved us. That's the one who left us behind. To the other, fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient for these? Who's worthy to smell like Christ? Are you worthy to smell like Christ? No, but he gave you the opportunity to smell like him. And in heaven, you'll be really glad you smell like him, because everybody else will too. Who's sufficient for these things? We are not. Like so many peddlers of God's word, can you believe that there were people preaching for money in God's day? Not that they didn't get a paycheck. Don't get me wrong on that. Paychecks are good. They pay the bills. I'm just saying, but they were preaching. They were peddling the word of God for profit. That was their purpose, not to glorify the kingdom, but to glorify their bank accounts. He said, like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of what? Men who had no wax in their crack. Think about that. I did tell my wife, I want to be cremated. I want her to ship me out on a surfboard. I want somebody who can shoot a flaming arrow, and I want pyrotechnics. I want it all just to blow up. That's what I'd really like. But if she ever puts me in a cemetery with a tombstone, that's what I want on my tombstone. No wax in his crack. He was sincere. God's word. Look at this. We're not like so many peddlers of God's word, but we are as men of sincerity. We live for God, and we're doing it to represent him. And when we get it wrong, we represent him by showing the world what forgiveness is and that we have it. We are commissioned by God. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So I want you guys to know, again, that when you go into this world and smell like Christ, a lot of people aren't going to like that. Why do you think Arthur Treacher's closed, man? You remember that? Long John Silver's, dude. There's Chick-fil-A's everywhere. World wants chicken, man. The church wants chicken. But Christ wants fish. And the more you smell like Christ, the more you smell like fish. And the world doesn't like that. But who likes it? God. That's the one we live to please, is God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting this in your word. I pray, Father, that we would be soul conscious. I pray that we would be so looking forward to the next step where we get raptured and we as the bride are going to be in heaven for 7 years in the most awesome wedding there ever was. And after that, we're going to have a 1,000-year millennial kingdom where we are going to have perfect bodies and the world is going to be perfect. We've never seen that.
And after that 1,000 years, we've got an eternity on a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And all of that is with you, God, and being able to experience your full glory and all of your love, which we can only imagine now. So, Father, I pray that we would keep our eyes on that, as is told us that that is our blessed hope. And while we're here, we would represent you, we would live for you, and we would want to invite others to be in that wedding too. Help us be soul conscious. Even if it seems like nobody's listening and like nobody wants it, nobody believes, one day, Father, they'll believe. And let us be the kind of people that they can come back to and hear the truth. So, Father, I pray right now for every soul that someone in here is praying for. Father, I beg you for their soul, that you would change their heart. I pray you would fire up our prayer life for you to take over people's hearts. Give them desires they can't refuse, Father. I don't even know how all that works, but just, Father, save our loved ones. Save the people you put on our heart. And Father, it'd be pretty awesome if we had the privilege to be a part of that. If there's somebody here that's never given their life to Christ, but they have the desire, Father, I pray they would do it. They'd realize that Jesus told Nicodemus, it's like the wind, that desire is. They don't know when it's coming, you don't know when it's leaving, but you know when it's there. And so right now, they would surrender themselves to you. Father, take this and use your Holy Spirit in each of our hearts to do what you want us to do with this. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.